morning. Today we're going to end the shiur a little bit early. We're going to stop at exactly 11:15. So I'm going to request that people hold off on questions unless it's absolutely vital for understanding the shiur. A person is on an important conference call. His best clients, his boss, are all on the line. They're discussing a crisis that had just come up. Person is also in the car with his entire family, which is not a wise combination. Before the call, you tell your children, please, it's an important phone call. I need everyone to be quiet for 15 minutes. Naturally, 2 or 3 minutes into the phone call, your son's looking at your daughter the wrong way, and she's took the other person's snack. And then before you know it, there's yelling and screaming, and you're having a very hard time concentrating. So you politely and respectfully ask your children to lower the volume a bit. When that doesn't work, you ask a little bit less politely. And finally, in desperation, you tell them whoever's quiet for the next 15 minutes gets a chocolate bar. Now, the question that we have is, 15 minutes later, after 15 minutes of silence, do you owe your children a chocolate bar? Now, we've been discussing the past 2 weeks the sugya of Tol Din of Avireini, a person, a fugitive, he's running for his life. He needs to cross the river. And the ferry says you want a passage, it's going to cost you $1,000. The halacha is, he can say Meshat Anibach. That he can say, no, when he gets to the other side, you can tell the captain that I didn't mean it. And you do not have to pay the $1,000. You pay just the regular fair market value for a ferry trip. So the chayyur in this case as well, you are desperate to have a few moments of silence in the car. You've made this promise, this offer of this chocolate bar, you should be able to say Meshat Anibach. Now, as we pointed out over the past 2 weeks, there's a Machlokes Rishonim where this halacha applies. The Ritzva limited it to only a case, the captain has a chiyuv of Hatzalos Nefashos, or in another case with a chiyuv Hashavas Aveda, he has a chiyuv to go ahead and do it either for free or for the regular price. If he wants to extort more, you can say Meshat Anibach. Other Rishonim said that no. And the Ramban learned, even if there's no chiyuv, as long as it's a shas adchak, as long as you do make this agreement under pressure, afterwards you can say Meshat Anibach. And the third shita was, anytime you're being demanded, extorted above the fair market value, you can always say Meshat Anibach, since there was no kinyan, there was no contract, you don't have to pay, you only have to pay the regular price. Now in our case, what are we dealing with? You told your children to be quiet, so l'chayra, it's the Ritzva needs that there is a chiyuv for them to do it. Do your children have a chiyuv to listen to you? Chayr, yes. Kibud Avayim. So since they have a chiyuv to do it, and they refuse to do it unless they get the chocolate bar, you can say Meshat Anibach. According to the Ramban, where you don't need a chiyuv, all you need is the fact that it's a shas adchak. Clearly it's a shas adchak. This is your biggest customer is on the line. So certainly you should be able to say Meshat Anibach. Now the truth is there are some other factors we have to take into account. Oh, very good. It's true there's a mitzvah of kibud avayim, but your child who's making the noise is probably a katan. If they're a katan, then it could be there's no chiv on them to do it. The captain of the ferry had a chiv to go ahead and save you, so to demand money in exchange for saving you, that he can't do, mishnat anibach. But if you hold that the child has a chiyuv, is under bar mitzvah, he doesn't have a chiyuv of kibud avayim midaraisa. So then perhaps, according to the Ritzva, you cannot say Meshat Anibach, and you'd have to give them the candy bar. Mitzay Cheni, according to the Ramban, whenever it's a shas adchak, whenever you're under pressure, you can say Meshat Anibach. So in this case, clearly it's under pressure, and clearly you'll be able to say Meshat Anibach. Good, so the question is whose chiyuv that is. If it's your chiyuv to be mechanech them, that's not a reason for you to say Meshat Anibach. The lesson they're learning about make noise on the line, you get a chocolate bar, is not a kim of your chiyuv of chinuch. Very good. So the Ramban learned that the whole point is when there's a shas adchak and there's extortion, $1,000 for a ferry ride, you can say Meshat Anibach. On the other hand, if the person's running for his life, and the captain says, no problem, it costs $10 a trip, that's the regular price, everyone agrees you have to pay. So in this case, what is the value of 15 minutes of silence in a car? You're saying it's like, no, the other way. You should have given them two chocolate bars. But the truth is, there's another cheshbon. And that is, what's this entire discussion? When you promise, you tell the ferry, the captain of the ferry, that bring me across, I'll pay you $1,000. Why, when he brings you across, do you have to pay him? The answer is, chiras pailim. You hired him to do a job. He did the job. You would have to pay him. And then we have to deal with whether there is Meshat Anibach, there isn't Meshat Anibach. Over here, did you hire your children to do a job for you? I don't think so. There's a discussion in the Achrayinim. A serious pilot is when you hire them, they're going to do something for you. When they do the job, even though there was no Kenyan, they're entitled to pay. So unless there's a time of Meshat Anibach, once the job is done, you have to pay them. However, when you tell someone, if you don't do something, I'll pay you, some Achrayinim say there's no schiras pailim. You can't hire someone not to do something. So therefore, if there's no schiras pailim, then even without Meshat Anibach, it's true you told the children you'll get a candy bar. There was no kinyan, there was no contract. They didn't do anything for you. So in that case, regardless, there would be no chiyuv to pay. You can deal with mechusar amano. But as far as the kinyan, if your children would decide to haul you in front of a bezdin, they would not have a claim because there was no kinyan. And according to some achrayim, at least, there wouldn't be a schiras pailim. That's not so simple. Not so simple. That's a schiras pailim. Again, mechusar amano would be a concern. Now the truth is, I just want to make it very clear. We're dealing with Choshen Mishpat. If your children hold you in front of a bezdin to demand the chocolate bar, what would happen? As far as chinuch, it is certainly a very not good idea to promise your children a candy bar and say Meshat Anibach afterwards. If you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on your children's chinuch throughout their lives, $2 chocolate bar that you said yes and then you said Meshat Anibach is taking a good amount of the chinuch and just destroying it.
Not
the next time. That's true too. Meshat Anibach, because again, that was the nesivas, because they don't have the right to demand. Because they don't have the right to demand the chocolate bar in the first place, there's no problem with Nevis Das. So this is the sugya of Tol Din Rav Avi Reini. That was when you're under duress, you made a deal. Now last week, we also, at the end of this year, we started the next sugya of Toyu V'yov, Toyu V'zavin. And just to give a quick illustration, recently there was a chasana. It was an absolutely beautiful and elegant affair. The Chasam Kala rented out the most elegant of ballrooms. They hired a sophisticated orchestra. And they served the finest gourmet foods. Everything was absolutely perfect. The one minor hitch they had was, after the Badekin, the Kala started having cold feet. Didn't want to get married. Now our intrepid young Chassan had thought of everything. So he gives a little signal, and two goons step out of the shadows, pull out guns, and tell the terrified young Kala, "You don't have a choice, you're getting married." Okay, she has no choice. Walks down the aisle. Instead of being flanked by her parents, she's flanked by two goons. The pictures of this chasana were something special. And under the chuppah, so she hesitates a minute. You know, the goons move a little closer to her. She accepts the ring. And the chasana is done, and they live happily ever after. And everyone's laughing. What kind of chasana is this? And the truth is, we really celebrated a similar event very recently. The Gemara in Shabbos writes, "Moido Rabba Loi Raisa." When Klai Yisrael was makabel the Torah, this is when Klai Yisrael had the nesuin and kaviyachot to the Rebbeinu Shalom. How did that happen? Kava aleim har kegigas. Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted Har Sinai and said that you have a choice: either be makabel the Torah or sham take furaschen. It's all over. So the Gemara says, "Moido Rabba Loi Raisa." Klai Yisrael has the right to tell the Rebbeinu Shalom, "It's not fair. You forced us to accept the Torah. We don't have to listen." And this is a very famous Gemara. Then Hadar Kabul B'Meach Hashverosh. That after the Nes of Purim, that's when Klai Yisrael accepted the Torah a second time. But the Gemara implies Kipshutai, the different Pshatim. But what the Gemara seems to say is Meikar Hadin Kabbal Satayra. Klai Yisrael has an excuse. They can say we never did it willingly. We were coerced, and you can't hold us responsible if we're not Shemir Torah mitzvahs. Now, as we're going to see, this Gemara is a Pella. Because as we go through the halachas in Simin Reishei and Chodesh Mishpat of Toyuv, the Toyuv is oven, we're going to see, and many of the Achrayim ask on this Gemara, that it's not so simple that this is really true. And al pi halacha, it would seem that this moedah is not a good moedah, and it's very, very possible to make her hadin. This kala might be married, and Klal Yisrael perhaps should be mechuyev in Torah mitzvahs. So we're going to go through some of the halachos in Simin Reishei, and then we'll get back to this Gemara in Shabbos to see what really the pshat is. Now, last week we began. The first halacha was toyuv v'yohev. If a person is walking in a dark alley one night and he meets a big burly fellow brandishing a semi-automatic weapon, who says he would very much appreciate if you would give him your iPod as a present. So the halacha is, if you give it to him, it's toyuv v'yohev. It's you were coerced, you were forced into doing it, and the halacha is, the matana is not a matana. If at some point you have the automatic weapon and you get a hold of this fellow, you can force him to give it back to you. Now that being said, there are a number of exceptions to this halacha. The first is in the case of the sikrikun. In the case of by the Churban Bayis, where Klal Yisrael were being hunted down, and the Umas Ha'olam were adarabah, they encouraged everyone to kill any yid that they found. So in such a case, if a person is captured and he then offers to ransom himself, he gives away his field, he gives away his property to save his life, there the halacha is, once he gives it, we assume it was given b'lev shalom. He would certainly rather have the field, but once his life is in such danger and he's given up any hope of ever coming back, ever recovering the property, when he gives the ransom, he means it, and you could not be chozer, it belongs to this sikrikun. The next set of exceptions, and there are a few different levels of this, is Ma'arik deals with a case where a person didn't want to give a get to his wife. Now, it was a case where al-Pidin, he could not be forced to give a get. As it was, this person was jailed for tax evasion. His wife's family was well-connected, and they were able to get him out of jail. They told him, you have a choice. You want us to do you the favor and get you out of jail? We'll only do it if you give the get. Now, in this case, does he want to give the get? No. He's doing it only because he's forced. He's in jail. On the other hand, he's in jail nothing to do with the get. He's in jail because he got caught for tax evasion. And he's asking his wife to do him the favor to help rescue him. So in this case, Ma'arik Paskins and Ma'arik Naranach, that in this case, where even though he doesn't want to give the get, he doesn't want to give the matano, but since he's doing it not because someone is actively forcing him, he's doing it because he wants something from the recipient. He wants them to do something for him. There, that would not be considered an oinus, and the matano or the get would be a good get. Now Ma'arik points out, there's a chiyuv of pidyon shvuya. Even though in all things, you know, in the absence of this fight that they were having, if you're able to get a person out of jail, there's a chiyuv of pidyon shvuya. There's a chiyuv to get him out of jail. Again, the case was where he was not supposed to be in jail. So even though there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv of pidyon shvuya, and still saying I'm only going to do the mitzvah if you give the get, if you give a matana, there you do not say to yuhuv yohiv, and the get or the matana would be a good matana. Now, the next case is a little bit more controversial, but the next case is, what happens if the goyim put him in jail? And the people who jailed him, not an outside person, the people who jailed him, he knows they jailed him for whatever reason it was. But if he gives a get, they're willing to release him. It's like this. If someone would go over to a person and say, I want you to give a get. If you don't give a get, I'm throwing you in jail. Put him in jail and say, until you give the get, that's it. You're not getting out. So that's toyuv yohev. You're forcing them to give a get. You're forcing him where the same thing would be by a present. And there you would have, and that would be considered an oinus. On the other hand, in a case where they put him in jail stam, they didn't say why. But now the person understands, if he gives the get, he'll get out. If he gives the matana, he'll get out. There, many achroinim say, that's not called toyuv yohev. Since the oinus is not directly tied to the get or to the matana, they put him in jail because they don't like him. Even though today, he knows that my get out of jail pass is giving the present, my get out of jail pass is giving the get, still they say that it's not called etayuv yohav, and according to many achronim, there the matana and the get would be a good get. Now, the cases that we're talking about are very extreme cases. You're walking down the street, you're in a dark alley late at night, and fellow says, I want you to give me this present. So clearly, if he's holding a gun, that's an oinus. You have no choice. What happens if the oinus is not quite as clear? Someone is pressuring you to give him a present, to give a get. And he intimidates you. He threatens that he's going to do something to you. So over here, there's a tremendous machlokes and discussion among the achronim. At what point does something become an oinus? Ma'abid has a case where a person wanted to travel. He wanted to go to another city. He was interested in getting married to a certain lady. And there was a person who owed money to this lady. This person told this fellow that I'm only going to let you go if you write a shtar that if you get married to her, you're going to release me from any debt that I owe this lady. And if not, you know I have the power to stop you from going. Person had no choice. He wrote this agreement that if I get married to this lady, we're going to wipe off the debt. Ma'abid says that's not called an oinus. Since he didn't say directly what he's going to do, he didn't threaten, if you don't do this, I'm going to force you to stay there. He said, you know I have the power to take care of you. Since there was not an explicit threat, Ma'abid says that would not be called an oinus, and anything that you did would be binding. The Ma'arit adds that if it's not clear whether you had the power to do it or not, you make a threat. So if you're 6'3", and you threaten to beat the guy up, so that threat's a pretty good threat. On the other hand, if you're 5'8", a little bit of a wimp, and you threaten to beat him up, so maybe you will, maybe you won't. There, Ma'abid says, since it's not clear whether you have the power to carry through the threat, he says that also would not be considered an oinus. And anything that you did, if afterwards you want to claim that you only did it because of the oinus, you would lose. The Ma'arit has another chiddush. He says if you threaten someone to sue him in court if he doesn't give this to you, he says first of all, talk is cheap. He says how you talking, yid would never sue another yid in court, and therefore it's probably an empty threat. And second of all, just if he gets sued, doesn't mean that he's going to win. So if you want to argue you did it just because of a threat, maybe you'll get sued and maybe you'll lose. He said that's not considered an oinus. Now in that, the Mishpat Shalom says that it was very nice in the days of Ma'arik. Today, where unfortunately people do go to court, the threat is a much more real threat. And second of all, he points out, and I didn't know this was true back then, if someone's going to bring you to court, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. Just the legal fees is enough of a reason usually to settle and to give the person a matana. So it's no longer a suffix. And now it's a vadai, because as soon as he sues you, that will be a loss, and that's a reason to settle. Now, halacha, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishpat Shalom both say, HaKol Lefi Rois Eini Hadai, and it depends on the case. The issue really here is that on one hand, there's a threat. So the person's threatened to do something. He's arguing, I didn't want to do it, I only did it because of the threat. On the other hand, you went ahead, you gave a matana. We have Aidim that you went ahead, you told the person, take this as a present. You said, roitza ani. You're coming to Bezin later and saying, I didn't really mean it. And what happens every time you get a present? Can the person afterwards come to Bezin and say, I didn't really mean it, but a week ago when I was talking to him, he looked at me funny, and I got intimidated, I got scared, and that's why I gave the present. So you can't do that. It has to be clear that you're only giving this present because you had no choice, you were forced into it. And that's why there's this whole machlokes, just because you intimidate, you threaten, you do something that will not necessarily be enough to consider it, to consider a toyuhu v'yohuv, and it has to be clear that it was a real oinus, and you're only doing it because of this threat and not for any other reason. Now this is all a case of toyuhu v'yohuv, where because of the threat, you gave the item away for free. If the person pays for it, the halacha is drastically different. If you own a piece of property, there's a developer who's putting up a whole project, and he needs your lot to complete the project. He's a little bit of a gangster, so he goes ahead and he intimidates you. or he threatens you. Calls into his office, pulls out a couple of goons, come in, pull out guns, either sell the property or else. So over here the halacha is, if you sell the property, the halacha is toyuhu v'zavin zvini zvini. Once you sell it, you cannot back out. Even though it's clear you only did it because of the oinus, you only did it because there was a gun to your head. But here the halacha is, we say, agav zuzi gamar ramakni. It's true, had you not been forced, you would not have sold it. But since you're getting the fair market value for the sale, it's a wash. So in such a case, when there's a gun to your head and you're getting the full value, we say, agav zuzi gamar ramakni. At that point, you say, you know what? I don't want to do it. But under these circumstances, as in gun to my head, but getting the full value, take the property. Baruch Hashem, at least I'm getting paid for it. And agav zuzi gamar ramakni. So halacha is that if you sell it, even though it's clear it was under duress, it's clear it was only because of a threat, the halacha is you cannot back out afterwards. So it's a zachmai, but it doesn't undo the sale. Since you got the, he has to give you the full market value. If he wants to give you less than it, that, then essentially he's asking you for a present. Instead of asking for the whole thing as a present, it's only part of it. But if he's paying you the full value, there the halacha is you could not back out afterwards. Now, Rav Kiviger points out that this is a shvera halacha. Is that true that every time someone gets paid for it, if there's a gun to his head, he's automatically gamar ramakni? So Rav Kiviger explains that what happened, it doesn't mean that every single person under these circumstances will be gamar ramakni. It's possible some people, it's not worth it for them. They don't want to sell, gun, no gun, money, no money, they don't want to sell. But Rav Kiviger, it's a suffix. Once it's a suffix, since you said take it, you said roitzani, or you did the equivalent, you accepted the money, you wrote a shtar, whatever you did. So even if you happen to be a little bit more strong-minded and you don't want to sell, that's dvarim shevalev. Since on the surface we see a sale, you took the money, we see you signed the contract. If you want to undo the sale, you have to prove you had no das. When you're forced to give it as a present, No one means it. Because why are you giving it away? So even though you said take it, you said roitzani, it's clear there's an umdur, you didn't mean it, and you can undo the deal. However, when you're being forced to sell, and but at the end of the day you're getting the full price, there, since agav zuzi gamar ramakni, many people will under these circumstances say, oh, it's okay, you know, let him take it. So if you want to claim you were different, you would have the burden of proof, and you would have to establish that you didn't really mean to sell it. Now, there is a concept of Mesiras Maida. If you go in front of Edom beforehand and you tell them that I'm being forced, I don't really mean it, that will work. That's something that we'll discuss next week. But in the absence of that, if you never went to Edom, you never made a Maida, the halacha is, since you're getting paid, then you would not be able to back out afterwards. Now, these seem pretty clear. If you're forced to give a present, as long as it's a real oinus, as long as you're really being forced, the halacha is afterwards, you can go ahead and you can undo the deal. Sorry, on the other hand, if you're being forced to sell something, as long as it's a fair market value, the deal is a good deal. Now, there is a discussion by karka. If you're forced to sell karka, as we've learned in the past, karka has no oinah. It doesn't have a set value. So over here, according to some paiskim, if you're forced to sell real estate, even if you don't get the full value, there the mecher is a good mecher. But, excuse me? By karka, which does not have oinah, so there, if you pay the person a little bit less than the fair market value, according to some paiskim, that it would be a good mecher. Practically speaking, it's not really that relevant, because even according to everyone, if you force him to sell it to you and force it to sell for this below market value price, everyone agrees that the deal is off. The whole issue of karka, less than the value, is when you force him to sell, but then you let him negotiate the price. And that's not done under duress. So that's not a very common scenario. But so typically when the person's holding the gun to your head, he's going to force you to accept whatever he's offering you. So in that case, if it's anything below the market value, whether it's karka, whether it's metaltolin, you'd have the right to undo the deal afterwards. There is a ridvaz, which is a chiddush. I don't understand it, but what he says is that if an item had a set value, and suddenly for some reason the value shot up, someone then forces it to sell it to you at its regular value, the price that it's been throughout the years and the price that it will probably be in a few months, he says there, we ignore the fact that right now you can get more for it, and he says that in that case, as long as you sell it, as long as you're paying him the typical value, that would be enough, even though right now it's worth more, and right now he can get more for it. Doesn't explain why, but that is the svara that he says. Now, there is an interesting discussion, is when if a person forces another, a husband to give a get, in a case where al pidin, he should not be forced. So that's considered toyu v'yahav. And the get is batal. What happens if you force someone to give a get, but you pay him to give a get? Is that called toyu v'yahav? Or is that called toyu v'zavin? So some place can say it's toyu v'zavin. Since he's getting money for it, agav zuzi gamar makni. And therefore, even though he's only giving the get because of the gantu, who said, since at the end of the day he is receiving money, it's like a mekachu memkar, and the get would be a good get. Many other poskim argue, and they say just like when you force someone to sell something, if you give it to him at below the market value, that's considered a matana, and the deal is off. So if you force a husband who does not want to give a get, if you force him to divorce his wife, it could be you paid him a few dollars. But there's no market value how much a person who wants to stay married would accept to get rid of his wife. So therefore, if you forcing him to accept the money, according to many other poskim, would be a toyu v'yahiv, and a get would not be a good get. Okay, that's true. Yesh ladain, what she's worth. But there's no value to it. And therefore, some poskim say that since he wants to stay married. So for him, whatever the reason is that, you know, he wants to stay together. So a dollar amount is not agav zuzi only. I may have lost the property, but I got its value, so I'm okay. With a wife, according to many poskim, you do not say that. Now let's go back to our kala. If a person is forced to get married, is that toyuhu v'yov or toyuhu v'zavin? Now marriage, as some of you may know, is a two-way street. You give and you get. And therefore, according to what comes out in the Gemara, if you force a woman to be mekudeshes, so on one hand she's mekudeshes, on the other hand she got the ring, and she got the sher ksus of oino, the various chiyuvim that the husband has to her. And therefore the Gemara says, may ikar hadin tol yuhu v'kidesh, she's mekudeshes. And our kal chasen and kala could live happily ever after, they would be married. However, it's very clear in halacha, the Gemara says, that hu asa shaloi kohagen, so chazal afkinu kedushin minei, whenever a person gets married, he gets married kedas moshe v'yisrael. Since this is not an auspicious way to start a marriage, chazal said, you forced her into it, you did shaloi kedin, and kulayama, the kedushin would not be a kedushin, they would not be married. And this brings us back to the Gemara in Shabbos. Kla Yisrael was accepting the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu forced them. Kafal Eim Har Kegigas. Is that Kabbalah under duress a good Kabbalah or not? So it really depends. If Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah would be Talyu V'yahiv, it's just a present, it's a one-way street, they're just Ki'ilu giving something to the Rebbein Shloilam. So then the Gemara in Shabbos is L'chayr Reitz. They can say, Mado Rav L'Reitz, we were forced into doing it, no deal. On the other hand, if Kabbalah Torah Mitzvah is a mekach, it's true Klal Yisrael is going to do the Torah Mitzvah, but mitzad sheni they're going to get rewarded for it. So tell you if Zavin Halacha is Zvini Zvini. So if that's the case, what's the Modoy Rabba Loi Raiso? What's Klal Yisrael's excuse? You force us into being Kabbalah Torah. It was a sale. Tell you if Zavin Zvini Zvini. And Klal Yisrael should be Mechuyev to listen to Torah Mitzvahs. So there's a huge amount of discussion in the Achrayim, just to very briefly run through some of the different truths and they suggest. Some of the Achrayim suggest that it's true when you do Torah Mitzvahs you get reward. But Klal Yisrael is Mekabel Torah, Shloi Almanas L'Kabel Pras. If they're doing the Torah Mitzvahs, not Almanas L'Kabel Pras, now it's already Tel Yuhu V'Yahiv. They're doing the Torah, they don't expect anything in exchange. And therefore, it's Toyu V'Yahiv, so there the Mekach would be Batal, and they have a valid Modor Rabbalah Raisa. Others say that Talyu Vizavin is only when you get the cash. Person, the gangster, comes with a gun. He says, give me the field, here's the money. On the other hand, he says, give me the field, you know what? I'll pay you next year. You never got the cash. There it could be. It's not a good mekach. So since Stein Mitzvah B'Hayah Malaka, the reward is only much in the future. So therefore, it could be, even though it's a mecher, it has a din of Toyuhu V'Yahiv. It's not so simple, because if you write a shtar, if the gangster is clearly going to pay, so there again, a shtar choyv, shtar mekach, there's a machlokes. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo has good credit. So this argument, the chor, is not such a good argument. We're talking about heresy. Oh, but the shvu is different. Good. That's another tumult about where shvu plays a role. That's also an echnami. Others say that this whole discussion is only when you sell something. There's a Ramah that says if you force someone to buy something, there that doesn't work. So when Klai Yisrael is a Mekabel Torah, you really have to know what's happening. Are Klai Yisrael being selling their guf to the Rebbeinu Shloimeh? In that case, it's Talyuhu Vizovin, and it should be a good mecher. On the other hand, if you look at it as if Klai Yisrael is being Mekabel, is Kilu buying the Torah, if you will, they're accepting the Torah Amenas to be Meshabah themselves, then already it's Ansu Liknois, and there the Ramah Hakopan and Paskins that it would not be a good mekach. And there are other terutzim, but at this point we're out of time.